Okay, we are up to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Dalet. And Perek Yud Dalet is about the war that we were getting ready for in the previous Perek. Yehonasan already assassinated one of the governors of the Plishtim, and now the stage is set. Shaul only has 600 men because he hadn't waited for Shmuel. Shmuel left, the Am dispersed, and now he is there by Michmas getting ready for the war. So what happens, our Perek starts off by Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, going and infiltrating with his Na'ar into Plishti land and saying, you know what, let's go, let's see what's happening. Let's try to test our luck. It's not really luck, because he had tremendous bitachon. And Yonasan says, well, this is going to be the test. If they say, please, when they spot us, they say, come up here, then we'll know we're going to be victorious. If they say, stay there and we're coming, so then we'll know that we are going to lose. So they revealed themselves, and the sign was given. They said, come up. So Yonasan said, that's a sign from Hashem that we are going to be victorious. He goes, and he kills a number of the Plishtim, and that starts the Plishtim's confusion. All of a sudden, they realize that something's happening. Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand behind the scenes makes them confused, starts running. They start running in all different directions. And then Shaul, the Bnei Yisrael's camp, is awakened and saying, what's going on? They see the Plishtim running, and they said, wow, it must be something's going on. See what's happening. And they check the Urim Tumim, but then they didn't have time to check the Urim Tumim. And Shaul got everybody together and just started racing and running after the Plishtim. Remember, they had no weapons, but they were running anyway, and they were defeating the Plishtim. On the way, Shaul says he wants to make sure nobody gets distracted from the Milchama, so he makes a Shvua for all of Klal Yisrael, and he says, whoever eats today has a klala on them. He curses, and that's where nobody ate the whole day. They were all fasting, except for Yonasan, who wasn't there, who didn't hear his father's oath, and that's why he takes a little honey along the way, and it really helps him and strengthens him. He's told, but your father made a shvua. He says, I think he's wrong. I think if tamim melchama, you have to be strong. So I don't know why he made that oath. In any case, the end of the day comes, and Bnei Yisrael start, then they can eat as they continue to win the war. It says they did a chait while they were eating, maybe because of the fact that they were starving. We'll talk about it. Shaul then tries to rectify it and start shechting the animals properly and giving them meat to eat at night. At the end, then they say Shaul wants to know if he should finish off the job with the Plishtim, and he goes to the Urim Tumim, and the Urim Tumim is silent. And Shaul says it must be that there was a chait. So what happens? He lines everybody up, and ultimately the goral goes on Yonasan. Shaul says, Ayvei, Havat Tamim, this is a complete sign, a perfect sign, and I guess you're Chayim Misa. Yonasan says, okay. And the Am says, no way, Yonasan brought this whole Yeshua. Hashem wouldn't have been with him if he's Chayim Misa, and they were Podahim. Vayiftu Amas Yonasan of Lomais, they redeemed him. Then Shaul goes and finishes the job, and the parak ends off by stating that he fought a number of armies throughout his 2 years of being a melech, because as we'll see the next parak, he's going to lose it. And the parak ends off by having some of his family mentioned. Shaul's sons were Yonasan, Yishvi, and Malkishua. Ishbosheth is not mentioned. And his two daughters were Merav and Michal. Merav being the older, Michal being the younger. His wife was Achinoam, and his general was Avner, or Avner ben Ner, who was his first cousin, right? Ner and Kish, Shaul's father and Avner's father were brothers, so Avner and Shaul were first cousins. That's how the parak ends, and there was Milchama Chazakal, Plishtim, all the days of Shaul, he was in battle with the Plishtim, and Shaul was a Ish Gibor and Ben Chayil. Okay, so now let's get back to the beginning of this somewhat lengthy parak, all about the war against the Plishtim. So, Vayihi Ayom, there was the day. That day, Vayomar Yonasan ben Shaul Alnar. Yonasan says to his assistant, it's noted that Yonasan, for the first couple of prakim that we are familiar with him, his name is spelled Yonasan. But later on, starting with Perek Yud Ches, it's spelled with a hey, Yehonasan. As if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem came to be with him as he became a gibor, as he became a leader in Klal Yisrael. So Yonasan goes to the Nosei Kelim and says, let's go to check out what's going on with the Plishtim. He does not tell his father. Maybe he thought his father wouldn't want him to go. Whatever the case is, Shaul does not know. And Shaul is with his 600 men. And the pasuk ends off also by saying that Achia, the son of Achitov, the brother of Ikavod, meaning a descendant of Eli, was there at the time. Why is that detail mentioned here? The Radak said maybe it's the contrast. The last time of Ikavod was mentioned, we know it was when the Aron was taken, and that's the baby that was born as his mother died, as Pinchas died before. So here it is the victory that he is stated in the context of. So the Am did not know that Yonasan left. So he goes secretly with his nar amongst this very rocky and many sharp edges area, as the Psukim describe. Vayomer Yonasan, and all of a sudden Pasuk Vav, right? I'm sorry, I should have. Right, it goes back and forth. Here, Yohonasan, and then Pasuk Yudbeis goes back to Yonasan. It's back and forth. But maybe when he is acting, L'shem Hashem, so that's where he gets the hay. So Yohonasan says to his Nar, L'chav and Abrel Meitzav Arelim, let's go to this Arelim area. We mentioned in the introduction to the Sefer that when we started talking about the Plishtim, that the Plishtim, more than any other nation in Tanakh, are called Arelim. Arel is like a separation. A separation between the Arle Lev and Arel Basar. Arel is separated off, and here they're separated from any Ashkacha. Right? It wasn't so long ago that they had the problems that happened with them when they took the Aron and the sicknesses that they had, and they sent it back. But they don't focus on that. That is a long gone idea. So Nacham and Abra, let's go. Ula Yaseh Hashem Lanu. Maybe Hashem will help us out and perform for us a great miracle. If you look at the Mishpat Zozov, he notes here that it's pretty amazing, this level of bitachon. They are going, two people are going to try to infiltrate the entire Plishti camp. Khan says the Mishpat Zozov, Nacha Alav Ruach Ugvura Atzuma Me'es Hashem Laseis L'melcham Hashem L'shum Sikui Al Pi Derech Ateva. Naturally, there's no chance La'alos Shnehem Yechidim Mamish L'makom Shahali Atzma Sakana. They're going up, they're finding a whole army. It's you think about it, it's like, what are they doing? How could they do it? But this was the unbelievable Ruach Hashem that suddenly came upon Yohonasan when he said, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and this is what I need to do. Ula Yas Hashem Lanu Ki Ein L'Hashem Matzor Lo Shia Barabo Mebeat. He says Hashem can do it, it's not beyond him, so let's check. So the Nosei Caleb says, yes, let's go. So Yohonasan says to him and says, okay, this is the plan. We're going to appear in front of the Plishtim. Im ko yomru eleinu domu an hagenu aleichem. Stay there. We see you. We're coming down to you. Then we'll know that's it. We're going to lose. But v'im ko yomru alu aleinu v'alinu. If they say, come here. So then we'll know that is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're going to be victorious. And that's exactly what happened the latter case. The Rishonim discuss the Radak here and the Rishonim in Chul and Adaf Tzadehem Abeis. How exactly was Yehonasan allowed to do this? We know there's an Isser of Nichush in the Torah. Lo Senachashu, Velo Soneno. Nichush is basing my behavior on certain signs that are given to me in the world. So the Gemara says that if Nichush is a... like Eliezer, Eved, the line of the Gemara, is anyone who's Menachesh, like Eliezer, Eved, Kol Nachash, Rav says, Chul inside the Hamma base, Kol Nachash, She'enu ke Eliezer, Eved, Avraham, Kiyonasa, Menshol, Eno Nachash. If anybody does Nichush, not like them, that's not real Nachash. What they did was real Nachash. So after we showed him, so how were they able to do it? It says, Lo Sanachashu. So Tosfos says, maybe there, Tosfos and Chulin, maybe there it wasn't really, they were gonna go anyway. It wasn't that they were looking for a sign, and that sign was going to determine for them whether they were going to go. They were going to go anyway. They were just looking for a little chizuk. They were looking for a little chizuk, right? Or Tosfos says, in our story, maybe it was just to be Mezaris his na'ar. He was for sure going anyway, but to give a little chizuk to his na'ar. And after the Radak also seems to say here in a longer piece that it wasn't like the Isurim of Nichush that are just really determining of my behavior what I'm going to do, but it was stam to give chizuk. And that's the Rambam, where the Rambam quotes this Isur of Nichush. In Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it's pretty clear-cut what it is. Says the Rambam, Ein Menachashin Kagoyim. Don't do Nichush. Shenemar Lo Sanachashu. What is Nichush? We know, we've discussed in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Shiurim, what's the difference between Nichush, Ma'onein, Menachesh, Bechashif, all the different ones. So what's Nichush? Kagon. Elu Sha'omrim. Ho of Anafla Piti Mipi. The bread fed out of my mouth. O Nafal Makli Miyadi. Any holich l'makom ploni hayom shemelichin chefsinasin. Right, something happened, and I take that as an omen. I take that as an omen. Something occurred out of my control. However, of our shu'al mimini, a fox walked by me. Any yotzi mepesa beisia, I'm not leaving today. Something bad's gonna happen. V'chein elu sheshomen tzifsuf ha'ofos. You hear the birds chirping in a certain way. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. That is nichush. But in our cases, this is the first answer we have, Tosfos and the Radak and others, there wasn't an event that just happened and therefore I'm going to base my behavior on it. They ask for a simon. They ask for a sign, right? Similar to, we might say, like Gidon. to back from Sefer Shoftim. Gideon asked for a sign. Make this dry and make this wet. Make this wet, make this dry. Or the Eshes Manoach and Manoach said, please come back down and talk to us. Right? That's just added chizuk. That's not a certain occurrence. A black cat walks across my path. Right? So that's nichush. But this is not nichush. This is specifically asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for some type of sign. Right? This is in the times when there were Nevi'im around. So they could ask for such signs. The Ran, and many quote this Ran, the Ran there in Chulan on that Gemara, has a different idea. And that is, nichush is, this theoretically, even if you ask for a sign, it would be nichush. Here, though, it was not nichush. It is not nichush. Why? Because here, it's logical. When Eliezer Eved Abraham, that was nichush, says, if a girl, the first girl that comes and offers me and my camels water, that's nichush? No, that's logical. That would reflect a balas chesed. That's it. That's why over there it's not a problem. The kach nirali b'tirutzon shel dvarim, says the Ran. Shahanacha sha'asra Torah hu hatola es dvarav b'simin she'ein hasvara nosenes. She'yehe bohem gorim to'elis ladavar. If I'm told it on something that has no logical explanation of why. O nezek, kagon, piton afo miyado tzvi hifzak labaderech. But in our cases, Eliezer Eved Avraham, the Yonasan ben Shaul, the chayotze mizeh, talu masehem, they were told their ma'isim on something that makes sense. She Eliezer yodeya haya, shelo hayu mizdavgen isha liyishak avinu ela hogenes lo. Lefichach lachasim la'atzmo, shemtehe kol kach no'e b'ma'aseha, v'sholma b'midoseha, ad shek sheyomar lahagmi'ini ma'mayin tashveni beruch nadiva, shedeh v'gam gamalecha ashkeh. Also, Isha's Minum and Hashemayim Liyishak, I know that. And Yonasan also, what about here? If they say, wait, we're coming down, that shows that they're brave, that shows that they are in a state, a mindset, a mentality of strength. But if they say, come on up here, they don't want to move. They're scared. They don't know who it is. And that's why he used it as a sign. Continues the Run. V'chein Yonasan ben Shaul, shebikish lachados b'machane plishtim hu. Right, the Rishonim didn't just read our Tanakh stories as stories. They put them into halachic categories. How did he do this? They had to keep the Torah. Bilvad lochach zesim alatzmo shim yomru alu eleinu yehi nira shehem yureyim imaarav. If they say come up to us, that'll show that they're scared. V'chayotzi bazeh batach Yonasan bigvuraso shehu v'nose kelev yifku ubehem shekem in hago shalolam sheshtayim oshlosha v'yir lev yanisu harbim enam afachadim. If you have two or three people that have men with a mission, they can overcome even people, many more people, if they're scared. But v'yim yomru domar agen aleichem, wait, we're coming, yiremi divrayim sheinam ispachad, then that would show that they are not scared of anything, and that we take as a simon. Just like if we show them, say, oh, if it's, let me see if it's going to rain tomorrow. If it's going to rain tomorrow, I'm not going to take a trip. Right? So that's not a problem. That's obvious. You're not going to take a trip if it's raining out. So that's why the poskim say it was not a problem of nichush in this case. Okay, so this is what they do, and they get the green light, so to speak, and Yonasan says, let's go. Aleach ha'raiki, the son of Hashem, v'yad Yisrael, Hashem has given them over. So they go up, and they wipe out, and they cut down a group of plishtim at the time, and that sends the whole plishti camp reeling. And all of a sudden, Shaul hears about it. He's told by his sofim, he's told by the lookouts, he says, something's going on. Piktu naru ki alach mi'imanu. And Shaul says, okay, so check, who's missing? And they realize Yonasan's missing, and Shaul knows that something's afoot. Yonasan must be involved in this somehow. Shaul quickly calls Achia. He says, bring me the Aron ha'elokim. The Aron. The Aron's coming out here. Thought the Aron didn't leave Kiryat Yarim. We're going to read that the Aron doesn't leave Kiryat Yarim. What do you mean the Aron? So Rashi says the Aron here means Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim, that's what Shaul means here. Bring out the Urim V'tumim, I want to ask. And the Psukim described that it was such a rush that they didn't get to ask. How do you ask the Urim V'tumim? So we've quoted in the past the Ramban and Parshat Tetzaveh. This time we'll read it from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash says, Ketzad Shoalin, O mate, how do you ask the Urim V'tumim? It's based on the Gemara. Omer HaKohen Upanav Lefnei HaAron. The Kohen stands in front of the Aron. Here there was not in front of the Aron. Vashol Me'acharav Panav La'achari HaKohen. The one who asks is behind the Kohen with his back to the Kohen. V'omer HaShoel E'ele O Lo E'ele. Should I go up or not? V'eino Shoel B'kol Ram. V'lo Maharer B'libo El B'kol Namuch. K'mishim Ispala Be'no Levein Atzmo. A low voice. U'miyad Ruach HaKodesh Lo Veshes Es HaKohen U'mabit B'choshen V'roe Bo B'mare HaNavua Ala Olo Ta'ale. He gets a Ruach Nevuah, and he gets the answer. Ba'osios sheboltos menachoshen keneged panav. In the osios. Va'koin meshivo, va'omerlo, ale, olo ta'ale. Right, that's how it goes. And that's the Ramban we mentioned back at the beginning of the Sefer Shmuel Aleph. here that maybe he has to decipher and unscramble the words, put them in order, and that was Eli's problem with Shikora and Keshera or Kisara. But that's what Shaul here says. Bring me the Aaron. But then all of a sudden the Plishtim are going wild and they have no time. Forget it. Let's go. And Shaul goes, he takes his 600 men and starts running. And on the way, the Pasuk says, Pasachav Gimel, Vayosha Hashem Bayamahu Es Israel, Hashem saves them, Vamilchama Avra et Beit Aven. And the Milchama goes past, Vishizo Nigash Bayamahu, and Bnei Yisrael are fighting, and then Shaul makes the Shvua. Arur Ha'ish, Asher Yochal Lechem Ad Ha'erev. Cursed is the person that eats bread until the evening. Vini Kanti Mi Oivai, until I get Nekama from my enemies. Here he's taking the responsibility, saying, me, I'm taking Nekama. V'lotam kolam lechem, and nobody ate bread. The Malbim says here that there's really two ways that Bnei Yisrael could have understood this. Does bread mean bread? Meaning, Shaul wasn't saying they couldn't have a snack. He said you couldn't have a meal. Have a kfiyas. Bread means a kfiyas suda. Ratzaloma shalo yifnu el hachana suuda sam. V'lo yirdifu achar ha'oyev. V'zerak besuuda kivua. Shemis acharim b'hachanasa v'achilasa. Natima would be okay. But others, v'yesha savra, it could have been interpreted as shayisa gzeirasa gzeiras tainis. Real tainis, why? As a part of tshuva. Shayis anu kalayom kadei shizchus anuyim u'tshuvasam toil al shayinachmu me'ayveim. The whole thing is miraculous anyway. So therefore, it could be interpreted as even more doing tshuva. V'Yisrael hechmiru al atzman b'shnei inyanim. And the Malbim says they were machmir. They didn't want to take any chances, and therefore they didn't eat anything. But it does not, the psukim does not say, do not get off the impression that what he did was appropriate. What he did was okay. Even Yonasan, in a few minutes, we'll see, gets very upset at the Shavua. And the Achronim explained, because this Shavua is different than, let's say, Tinus Esther. Tinus Esther, they fasted before they went to battle. Esara, you fast Esara as a form of tshuva. But during battle, ain't somchan al anes, you have to try to be as strong as you can. And therefore, a little difficult to explain. Shaul thought this was tshuva, but the Am, you know, suffered because of it, and Yonasan pointed that out. So what happens? But they didn't listen. They had emuna, and they followed Shaul. V'chalares bo bayah, they came to Faris. There was a lot of honey, and nobody ate from it except Yonasan. Stuck his stick in, v'yitbolosa b'yaras hadvash, he stuck it into the forest of honey. Of course, Rav Yonasan Ibishitz is safer. It's called Yaras Dvash, based on this pasuk, where Yonasan sticks his stick in, Vayashav Yadu Alpiv, and what happens after he eats from the honey? Vata'orna Einav, his eyes light up. And they say, 1 minute your father swore that you can't. He says, I don't understand. You see how strong I get, my Ma'ari Naim, my eyes lit up. So imagine how much we could have beat the Plishtim if we would be eating. I don't understand my father why he did that. The Gemara in Yuma even uses our pasuk on that Pei Gimel to explain that if somebody's life's in danger and you want to feed them something sweet, you know, it's a good idea because that could save a person's life. And any sweet items are Me'irin Ma'orainav Shal Adam. And a Zechel Adavar, they quote this pasuk, Re'una ki oru einai ki ta'amti ma'at dvash hazeh. And the Ber Moshe, the Azaravar, says that in dvash is also a reference to Torah, right? Right when we start learning Torah, our eyes light up as well. So he says, that's why he's very upset. Vayachal b'yamahu b'plishtim. So they continue. They beat the plishtim. Vayofa ama'on. And by nighttime, they are exhausted. So the shvu is over. So what do they do at night? The am gathers around. They start shechting animals and they start eating. And the pasuk says they did something wrong. Vayochal ha'am al hadam. They ate on the dam. And it was told to Shaul they were eating on the dam. They were chotim. Shaul says, stop it! And he gets everybody together and he starts shechting and they saves them from sin. So 2 points. What exactly was the chait that they did? What were they doing wrong? What does it mean, lo sochlu al hadam? So, the different pshat, that Rashi quotes two possibilities. Maybe it was osova espino. They were so starving, they weren't focusing on which animals they were eating, a mother and a child and an offspring. Maybe they were eating, they were makriv, a karban, right? They were thanking Hashem with karbanas, but they were eating before zrikas hadam, right? Because they were starving. The Radak says maybe they just didn't salt it or get rid of the blood properly. So it's mamish. Lo sochlu al ha. So various pshatim, Be'etzadim given. Why did they think? Why they couldn't be pashtus? They were just a rush. The Musar Nevi'im says maybe they were thinking that because they were in battle, they have the heterim, the mishnayis at the end of the first parak in Erevin discuss certain heterim that one has when one is in battle. Certain halachas that one doesn't have to keep in Atilas Yadayim and Gezel. So maybe they thought that, but the problem was that they weren't in battle here. They were on the offensive. They were taking a break now, and it wasn't a problem to follow all halacha. That's only in a b'di'evit situation. But either way, this was the chet that they did. The Bali Musar point out, the Abarbanel points out, that this was a direct result of Shaul Shvua. Because he made them take a shvua and not eat. That's why that night they were so starving, and they ended up doing an aveira, right? It's what we might call a chumra da asilu de kula. We have to make sure that we don't bite off more than we can chew in terms of certain chumras, right? We're going to, I'm going to be machra, I'm not going to eat all day. So what's going to happen, right? I'm going to, like the Chafetz Chaim, I'm going to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning learning. The Chafetz Chaim says, okay, let's see what your chakras is like. If we push in one direction, it might come out in another direction, and we'll have to pay for it. So we always have to be very balanced and always very, even if we're going to do something a little more extreme, we have to make sure that it doesn't come on the foot, step on the toes, so to speak, of another halacha. By the way, when the shul says, bring me all the animals and I'm going to shech them and do it properly, the pasuk says in pasuk lamed aleph, ushechatatem bazeh va'achaltem. You shall shecht in this and you will eat it. What do you mean bazeh? So the Radak says either it means this rock, I'm going to shechet it on this rock, or it means with this knife. This word bazeh is quoted, amazingly, in Hilchos Shechita. The Shulchan Aruch says, in Hilchos Siman Ches, is there a minimum shear for a knife of Shechita? So really, no, as long as you go back and forth, which is the way, the action of Shechita, right? It's a holacha v'hava, right? It's not a karate chop. It's a holacha v'hava. As long as one does it, even a very short blade can be used. But the Rama says, minimum you should use the length of a blade that is at least the width of two, the double the size of the animal, the neck of the animal that you're shechting. But then he quotes, v'yesh omrim l'shar b'yud dalet etzbos. Some say it should be at least 14 finger widths wide, long. Why? V'remez l'zeh, sh'ne'emar u'shechatatem b'zeh, minyan yud dalet. Zeh is gemat, b'zeh is gematria 14. And therefore, this pasuk is a remez that the minimum length of a shechita knife should be 14 finger breadths. So let's continue what happens. So Shaul says, let's continue now. Now that we've taken it, let's continue. So they ask the Urim and Tumim, you know, should we continue? Should we finish him off? And there's no answer given. So Vayomer Shaul immediately says it must be a chait, right? He was a tzaddik. He realizes if Hashem's not talking to us, it must be a problem. He says, go shualom kol pinos ha'am, all the Jews, let's come together. U reu bama haisach adas hazos. Let's see, Ki Chai Hashem. I swear, says Shaul, Im Yeshna, whoever it is, even if it's Yonasan, my son, he is Chayiv Misa. And nobody answered, nobody said a word. And what happens? He puts all the Jews on one side, he and Yonasan on the other side. Why? The Pirkei Der Belazar, and Perek Lamed Ches says, Pirkei Der Belazar always adds in a lot to the stories. It's a medrash. Adds in a lot of this to the stories in Tanakh. He said he checked the Urim Batumim. It didn't give him an answer, but the stone of Binyamin did not light properly. It was weakened light. So he knew it was somebody in his family. By Yomer, and what happens? And then it fell on Yonasan, and Shaul says, what happened? He says, I ate, I didn't know. Hineni Amus. Yonasan's ready to take it, even though he was shogeg, even though he didn't know. Shaul says, okay, ko yasai elokim, ko yosef, kimos tamos Yonasan. That's it. This is what happens, has to happen. Reminds us a little bit of Yiftach. Vayomer ha'amal Shaul. Yadam says to Shaul, right, we say this in V'yitam lecha. Ha Yonasan yamus, asher asa ha'yishua gdola ha'zos b'Yisrael. Is Yonasan going to die? No way, chalila. Chai Hashem, we swear. Im yibo misaras moshe arsa. No, nobody's going to touch him. Kim elokim asa yomazeh. And the Am was pode Yonasan. Am was pode Yonasan. 2 points. Number one, the question is, the Radak asks, he was a shogeg. So why was it called a chait anyway? Why did the Urim and Tumim get him? And why was he was a shogeg? So maybe the Radak quotes of Sadigon, who says that maybe the point was, if it wouldn't have gone to anybody, so then the Am would have thought, oh, there's favoritism. That's why Yonasan really ate. They didn't know. Nobody knew. He didn't hear about it. only because the story unraveled as it did people all of a sudden say, why did Yonasan eat? And he did a b'shogeg. And it came clear, all the details, and that there was no favoritism, but it was just that it was a shogeg. Number one. Number two. So halomaisa, how did he get out of it? Vayiftu amas Yonasan v'lo meis. So Rashi quotes, hataras adarim, sholdir hataras adarim. How? How did you do? What about Yiftach? Why didn't it have done there? So the first, the Mishpat Zozov says that by Yiftach, no, that might have been, they thought that because he was no there, that's why they won the war. That's why they weren't sure if he could be Matir. But here, it had nothing to do with it. It's something separate. Right? Yonasan just happened to eat from it. Or one might say that it was Hutar because he didn't really eat. He was Toaim, the Rokeach. One of the Rishonim even quotes from this Gemara, from this story, that Mat Emes, just tasting something, might not need a bracha, and it's not a violation of a fast day, because you see here, how is there Hataras Adarim? Because he didn't really eat from it. Just taste it. Just to the last point on this topic, and that is the last few lines of the Ramban in Sefer Vayikra, he discusses Charamim, that Bnei Yisrael have to keep Charamim of a leader, the overall Cherim shall Bezen Agadol, O shall Melech Yisrael. So one has to keep the rules of Bezdin or of a king. Kinyan Maisa Shaul. Like Maisa Shaul. What isn't Yonasan killed? Bavar Kishira Nesal Yada. The fact that the Nes occurred through him, it must be he did it. That's what the Am is saying here. Hayasa Yeshua Gadola. So Hashem's happy with it. It must be that he wasn't the one who did something wrong, and therefore it must have been a shoking. Fine. Once that is finished, Shaul goes and continues the job with the Plishtim and continues fighting along with the other nations that he fought throughout his kingship. And the parak ends off by discussing the sons of Shaul, Yonasan, Yishvi, Malkishua, his two daughters, Meirav and Michal, his wife, Achinoam, and again, his Sar Tzava, his officer, his general, Aviner, as it's described here, Aviner ben Ner, who was his first cousin, because Ner and his father Kish were brothers. So the pasuk ends off, the parak ends off, there was a great milchama on the Plishtim all the days of Shaul. Okay, this sets the stage for maybe the climax of the Shaul story, and that is the next parak when we get to talk about Amalek.